to another episode of Vavs Podcast. Vavs. We know how much you guys have missed us, but guess what? We haven't missed you. Anyways, Davey, it's a big episode. Davey to my right, Dilly behind the camera. Dave, take it away.
Thank you so much. This week...
I'm here too.
There's a whole intro.
Oh, you threw it off.
I went and I spent 3 hours of work.
Sorry, I'm forever directing shit. Please, just tell me when it cuts.
Please let the caucus understand that this is not as excited as I wanted to be for the intro now. I'm joking. This week, we have a very special guest. In 2018, she started her first small business, Crybaby Thrift, where she sold upcycled clothing in order to combat fast fashion and quickly became well known in the clothing and thrifting market, which then housed a platform which led to a suburban garden being filled with hundreds of people, where the very first Picnic and Thrift was born, which alongside her business partner, Ruby Prager, has become Joburg's biggest thrifting market, giving small businesses a platform and reach to sustain themselves while providing a safe, loving community at the same time. Everybody, please welcome Gabby O'Neill. I'm so sorry. I don't like public speaking.
Oh, just perfect.
You're on a podcast.
I didn't plan for it to ever be like that.
Livs and I just wanted to
play GTA. And
yeah, that's actually a chat.
Now you're just public speaking.
Yeah.
Every week.
Every time we do, like, especially like crowd interviews now, it's been, I have to like psych myself up. I'm like, let's interview one of our friends first. Then we can kind of shift to someone I don't know.
It's a process. But Gabby, thank you so much for joining us in the studio here today. So we wanted to ask you, in terms of your brand, so starting off talking about Crybaby Thrift, fucking magical brand, big fan of your work. But how did it actually come to be?
Okay, so I always say that like the origin story is not as interesting as the reason I continued it. The origin story was I was a struggling university student trying to make money for fees and cigarettes. And that's just as authentic true as it gets. But the reason it stayed is because I just completely fell in love with what I was doing. I learned so much about thrifting culture. I learned a lot about the environment and also just learned a lot about myself and the things that I enjoy doing. And I like to think of myself as like quite a social person, and I really love to meet people and interact with them. And I just like love community. And there's something that I really believe is we're starved for community in the modern world, funnily enough, because of technology. So we're always looking for spaces to interact that are accessible and interactive and also just neutral. So like a lot of the Joburg scene is dominated by like music, and which is not bad, but there's no like neutral territory for like day-to-day things. That was more like Picnic and Thrift, like why Crybaby got into Picnic and Thrift as well. But in terms of Crybaby, like why I maintained it is I love clothes. I love fashion. No, for real. Like I was not a fashionable kid at all. And like I completely love fashion and clothing. I love seeing people happy. It made me good money. It was always exciting. There's something really cool about like diving into a thrift store, finding something that someone else had owned, and then giving it a new life with a new person. And I don't know. I just like really, really fell in love with the whole... I got very passionate about it.
I feel like such a rush if I went and I could like have a thrift market and someone says I love this, and it's like thank you. You have the right eye as me.
No, it is such a rush, but also like you get to develop so many cool styles because of the old fashion just being so different to what we see nowadays in like fast fashion and mainstream stores. So there's something really unique about it. Like it helps with identity, with just like your own perception of yourself, being able to like dress that on the outside. So I think that's like what also helped maintain me in doing Crybaby, was just seeing the confidence that other people got from buying essentially like to me what's discarded clothing. And then for me as well, like just embracing that and doing that too.
Oh, that's really cool. And what was it like in terms of starting up your own designs and your own clothing and all of that? Like, was it kind of a struggle because it's almost polar opposites? Like you're like discarded clothing and thrifting, and then also I want you guys to wear cool shit as well.
It was definitely actually not a struggle. It was like the right progression. I like to think of myself as like unbelievably funny. So naturally I say things that are really funny, and then people who find me funny agree, and then we have like some mutual interest there. And then those people usually wear clothing, and that's always really cool because they often want to wear clothing that say stupid things on it. And that's where I came in. And I was like, cool, I'm going to put really stupid things on clothing. And the worst that happens, and all thrifted as well. Like all my screen t-shirts, everything that I print is on thrifted clothes. So it's also like eco-friendly and sustainable. I don't buy brand new to resell. So there's also like that sort of a niche for upcycling. Like, I feel like to me, this is the future of upcycling, is shitty slogans on on shitty quality secondhand clothes.
This is beauty, man.
Yeah, no, I really am here to get deep, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I love that. It would be so jokes though if it was all on like Shein bought clothes, like you spend like 10 rand fucking back to back, and then you're like, here's my slogan on it.
Yeah, and it's just got the logo at the back.
Like, right. Please help me.
Yeah.
Oh God, David.
No, because some... No, didn't you see the story? No, you know the story. It's not good.
Oh, goodness.
We're against it.
Oh. Oh. You know, the virtue signaling is quite rough. I have a feeling he's really into it.
What?
The Shein clothing.
No, I've never bought from there.
Oh, why are you so defensive?
I'm just... You know, it's like I'm unfortunately like an H&M condom boy, but I'm not a Shein boy. Put some respect on
it. If it's on my doorstep, I'll go. If it's not, man,
not ordering.
I'll order.
If you're ordering, I'll tag on.
No, I mean, if look, if you're splitting on customs.
I mean, you're gonna do it anyway, and like you don't want the hardware. Anyways.
I mean, look, the clothes are going to go into a landfill anyway. I mean, I forgot it's bought.
No, but it's gonna go next week. It's fine. Oh, but also, God. The clothing that just seems dodgy at points. It's like a weird, like, mesh vest, and it's like, this is it.
But I feel like that's also going to, like, a thrift market as well.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes you get, like, dodgy finds, and sometimes. Mm. Are there any no's when you go. Sorry to jump around.
When I go thrifting.
But no, but, like, as people who have never thrifted before, maybe they want to try thrifting. Is there anything that they should know going into it?
Yeah, it just depends where you're thrifting. Like, not everything that's thrifted is cheap, firstly. If you're going into vintage stores, be aware you're going to pay, like, high-rise prices that's for, like, good quality. It's restored, it's vintage, it's not thrifted. If you're going into thrift stores, like, go to areas where, I don't know, it depends what you're looking for. Mm. Probably, like, the biggest no, just, like, be careful where you go. Yeah. Yeah, like, I don't know. I go, like, deep into, like, Boxburg and Benoni. And then I'm, like, very obviously, like, this Jewish girl in the middle of Boxburg and Benoni. And I'm kind of, like, looking for my clip-on foreskin just in case something happens, you know? Like, it's that sort of vibe, you know? Like,
is that a shirt?
Yeah, yeah.
Just looking for my clip-on foreskin.
Yeah, just, like, but also nose. Like, just look very carefully at clothing. I think that's the best. If you're, like, doing hands-on thrifting, so not at a market, but you're at, like, you're in, like, the Donosas in town, or you're, I don't know, wherever else is thrift. I wouldn't know any of the places that don't thrift. But if you're in any of those places and you're looking, I would imagine you'd have to look very carefully, because, like, you can often find faults in the clothing.
Yeah.
Just, like, look carefully.
No,
yeah.
Enough. Cheeky stain here and there.
Yeah, 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 no, tea. Cheeky stain.
Like, oh, pants. Davey has these jeans that he thrifted.
I was like, they look lovely.
No, these are lovely. His jeans that he said he was going to wear today.
I really hope you crop a, like, close-up of the...
Yeah. Oh, intro. those jeans. No, that wasn't the thrift. That was my tailor who did that. Maybe you shouldn't be my tailor anymore.
Yeah.
It feels like a sin to tailor thrifted things. No?
Are there yeses and noes in thrifting like that?
What, like, do this, don't do that?
Don't tailor your clothing kind of things. Yeah.
I don't think officially. I don't know, it's not a... Because it's like an upcoming industry, there's nothing that's really like a standard, if you get me. Like, vintage is an industry already.
Yeah.
So there's a standard for like what qualifies clothing to be vintage. Like, it has to be 20 years plus, which is weird, because then you can find clothes from like Pep and Ackerman that's technically considered vintage because it's 20 years and up.
Imagine you're like, I got this Pep Hall. This is yellow.
Yeah, dude, literally.
This is the big one.
Literally, like, there was... I've got like a SpongeBob Pick and Pay shirt that I bought when I was like 7, and that's vintage now.
Oh,
and that's unhinged. That's unhinged. Like, how are you gonna tell me these Levi jeans are also vintage and the SpongeBob Pick and Pay t-shirt, like,
and it qualifies more vintage because it's all that?
Yeah, yeah. Literally. And you'd wear
it. I would rather not wear Levi jeans but a fucking SpongeBob tee.
Don't you like Levi?
Fuck a Levi tee.
Dodgy, man.
Tense.
It's fine.
What is the... I want to know about this Levi drama.
Listen, huh? You go to one factory store and you think suddenly you're going to walk out with 6 pairs of jeans. You drop 2 on the table, you're paying a grand for. Why did I come here? That's all I'm saying.
Factory stores used to be a lot different.
Factory stores used to be such a vibe, dude. Fuck's sakes. But then,
yeah,
is what happened. But yeah, in terms of your brand, so going back to Crybaby, I feel like it has such a strong brand identity, and like a lot of people resonate with that brand identity, and also similar to Picnic and Thrift. How important would you say that is for people to feel a connection to your brand?
Sure. It's a good question. I think it's extremely important. Like, I often think that the reason Crybaby is so, I don't want to say successful in like a bad way, but like it does well, and it's like sustained itself since 2018. A big part of it is the identity. Like, I'm very big on like size inclusion in clothing. I'm very big on good quality clothing. Also just like naturally being like a queer business owner, I think people want to support me more and like align with the values, because they know that like there's a certain level of trust that comes with like queer people trusting other queer people with business or with practices in general, sometimes unfounded, sometimes misplaced, up to debate. But yeah, I think brand identity is super, super important. And like, I mean, the slogan of Crybaby is all bodies are welcome here, because like I really do truly, truly believe that. Like, if you want to come and buy a t-shirt from me, like, pull up, like, your body's welcome here. I'll find your size, I'll find a color that suits you. I used to offer personal styling services as well, so that's like cool. We would do packages for people like all over the country, literally. For, like, I would go shop for them, make sure that like I chose things in a color palette they liked, clothing in like a certain style that they liked. They would choose like a mood board, I'd make like a Pinterest aesthetic board for them and everything. And then once a month, like, they'd pay me and I'd send them a package of like personal styling clothes. And that was for them. So I think the link between like that personal aspect is so important in brand identity as well. And I think that people obviously want to connect with you if you're like just like a sick oak. You know? if you're just a solid cunt, people are like, yo, that's nice, let me get that shirt, shame, it's a bit overpriced, but
you're like a really, really sick, like, I kind of like.
I think it makes a difference. I do. I think it's just the personal aspect of it, because like also I want to pay like really good attention to everything my customer wants, and I want to be as open and transparent about the process as well. So like with fast fashion, it's not transparent, it's not open, you don't know what you're getting, and there's just like no personable side to it. Whereas with like small businesses specifically, at least for me, like my experience with it has been so, you know, great. It's been the opposite of that. And I've noticed that customers like are very, very loyal to me, which has been also like super lovely, and that also links into the brand identity.
I think it's nice as well. It's like, I mean, obviously it's your business, but you definitely could have someone running it. But the fact that you're there at every market, even Picnic and Thrift and Crybaby, but it's like just that you're there present with every single thing, I think that just helps tenfold.
I think it's important to like be present in a business. Or at least for me, I've like, I know a lot of people like do side hustles and they also have like passive income, so they don't need to actually be there. But I know for me, like a big part of what I do and like why I love it so much and why it fuels me and why it like funds me is because like I want to be hands-on. Like Ruby will often say I'm a bit of a fucking like control freak, but she's right. Like I'll wear that, like that badge goes right here, and it's like there's a second one here for me too. Like I like to be hands-on. I want to make sure everyone's enjoying themselves. It's a good time. If there's any issues, I can be there. Like I think people also just like that sort of hands-on approach. Because we don't have it a lot. Like we don't have experiences like that a lot.
That's very true. You go to most places and you don't even see like the person throwing the event or something like that. So it's nice that people also know that it's you. Is it? Or is it almost like it's good sometimes, but then other times you're like, okay, can I fucking relax?
Here it is. I'm backing.
That's like an adjust in the chair sort of question. It gets a bit rough sometimes, because then like any minor fuck up is immediately my fault. Like minor fuck up, like it immediately falls on me or Ruby. And like very often me, because Ruby does a lot of the behind the scenes stuff. She doesn't really like to be too much in front of like with crowds. But like we pull equal weights, we do different things. Like we're 100% business partners in P&T, but then I often end up being the face of certain things. And we've spoken about it in depth, but it's also because like I'm quite okay with taking the criticism. That's also a problem, because like I sometimes get very like, if you are wrong, you are wrong, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you, because I'm not going to sugarcoat it for myself. So like so there's going to be a little problem here. So it gets a little bit intense sometimes, because also like it's, I have to sort of like put my own personal shit aside and like have work boundaries with people. And I think like the weirdest thing that's been like so fucking frustrating it's like such a weird one, is I've got I have to have like two WhatsApp numbers. Because otherwise, like, we do all our bookings through email and WhatsApp, but we've got like a business number now. When we didn't, like, I'd get calls at like 8 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night, like on a Saturday, Sunday. I'm trying to chill. I'm trying to sit back. I'm trying to enjoy myself. I'm out there playing Hades on my laptop, like, fuck off kind of vibe, you know? I'm really, like, last thing I want to do is tell you that the store's 300 rand and you're going to enjoy yourself and we can't guarantee sales, but we can guarantee foot traffic. I don't want to be having that chat with you at 9 o'clock on it. Like, I just made it to the second level. I don't want to be doing, you know, I'm a bit busy and you're calling me and I don't want to answer. And then, yeah, so that, like, we got a business number, a but then phone. Basically we got a drug phone, we got a side phone. And then literally we got a burner phone.
We got a burner for the burner as well.
Yeah, insert picture of burner boy. The drug phone. you're gonna insert a picture of burner boy there. And then
you will.
But like with a phone on his face, like the PNT logo. Send it to you.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm forever managing shit. But yeah, then like we got like the business phone and that was great. Except then someone like, it sounds weird. I'm not famous or anything fancy, but like someone leaked my actual phone number. Then it just fucking started up all again. And like people calling me again, like 1 a.m. on like a Sunday, just ridiculous stuff. So that's a bit frustrating with like people like attaching the name and like being nice as well, because then people also assume that you're always going to hear them out, you're always going to listen, you're always going to make a plan and accommodate. And that's also just like not realistic in business. Like I can't always accommodate the vendors to us are our main customers,
because
that's where our money comes from. So like that, you know, their customers are also our customers, but we, you know, we're providing a service for them essentially. Like I like to think of myself as like a landlord. Like I'm renting space to people like once a month.
This is the bowls club. You're gonna love it. Yeah.
yeah, for real, for real.
Can't guarantee sales, but guess what?
There's but you can guarantee five 16-year-olds with septums are gonna show up at any given point.
And it fucking is,
with their fuck ass clay mushroom earrings for sure. So yeah, that's part of that, where we're circling back to.
So the market itself, like you speak about, like obviously taking on more and more people and like essentially having like a greater responsibility to your clients and stuff. But at the start, how was it for you versus how it's changed now?
Ooh, very, very different. At the start, like I don't think Ruby and I thought that this was going to ever get to the scale that it did. Like actually, I know for a fact, we've spoken about it in depth. We didn't think we'd get to this. And like at the beginning, it's quite funny, like we used to like go sit in her garden or in my garden, like people were setting up or whatever, and we just like blom and like just chill. Like smoke up with a few of the vendors, just like watch everything happening. Like it was a bit wild, like sometimes, you know, like huge crowds would walk in and we'd be like, the fuck? You know, like literally like my bathroom's over there, please don't go into my bedroom. Like we had caution tape in our houses so that like Oaks wouldn't like go into the kitchen, you know. Because we didn't think it would get that big. We really didn't. Little like the first picnic and thrift ever was at Ruby's house, 25th of August 2019.
Yeah, it's
and
her birthday. Sorry.
What were you doing there?
Nice.
It's in the trick. Sorry.
Nice. Carry on. Oh, so young. So.
It wasn't the trick.
She's 2015.
2019.
2019.
That's what I was wondering. That's why when you said that.
Oh, you're not young. Okay, no, fine.
Oh, no. Yeah, I don't know why I'm older than you, actually. Why am I stressed? I'm stressed.
Okay, we'll get into that after. We'll get into that. But long story short, Ruby, like, it was so funny. Like, Ruby sent me a list. She was like, okay, you know, there's going to be probably about 30, 40 people. We need to go get tea. We need to go get instant coffee. We need to go get milk. We're going to get popcorn kernels. Her mom sat at the stove fucking slaving away.
Oh, God.
Making popcorn.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, we were so, like, amped. We were like, you know what? It's going to be so nice. There'll be about 40 people. 300 Oaks in the middle of her house. Oh, like, Christ. Just showed up the first time. And I remember I was like, fucking there's no ways like this is insane. We made a shitty post on Paint. Not even on Canva. On Paint. Insert image second time. It was wild. And then yeah, since then, I mean, it's completely changed. Like it's such a, I don't know, it's been such a lovely journey, and like I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And like I think the way that I run it now is so different then. Like, I'm obviously a bit older now. Like, what with years passing, that usually happens.
To be fair.
Yeah. It's been, like, it's helped me kind of, I don't think I was ever in my shell, but I don't think I was as, like as myself as I could have been, if that makes sense. I think that's just a maturity thing and an age thing.
No.
But the businesses, both of them, if anything, actually like helped propel this like character inside of me more outwards. So naturally, like I have a very strong belief that when I'm doing well, my business does well. And like I've had arguments with friends about it who are like, no, you can be in a bad mental space, but your business will still be well. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. For me, it is so closely linked. Mm-hmm. A little bit of hustle culture, not the healthiest, but it is. Yeah. So when I'm doing well, I'm in my best skin, I'm in my best self, and I'm able to give that experience to other people. And I know like a market's successful because it's not about the people who don't show up, it's about the people who do. So that's also like a mindset thing, and I've learned like a lot of life lessons just doing it. And by default, like every market I attend, I have a good time, even if there's bad turnout. So it's like changed the way that I run things because my perspective has completely changed on what success actually is and like what joy can actually be and what like something good actually looks like, you know, because again, it's just all about the people that show up. It's not about who doesn't. So it's been, that was like a huge change that I found for sure.
Yeah.
Also, I just got harder as I got older. So so that was also just so nice.
And I get more humble with age as well.
No, I just get more blunt.
fair.
No, it was actually something that like was very interesting. Like I don't actually mean harder like physically. I meant like in terms of styling and clothing and stuff. I genuinely like grew more into my skin, and I grew more into like fashion and seeing this world of like style essentially. Because like I think you'll notice like every person at Picnic and Thrift has got such an incredible and immaculate taste. Even if they're wearing something that's weird, they've put it together so well.
Yeah.
And it's curated, you can see. And it's not because of like social media reasons. It's because people are genuinely in a space they feel comfortable to like
express
themselves. Yeah. To like dress outwardly how they feel inwardly, or to experiment with it. And I think that definitely was something that like I never realized I was lacking. So observing like the customer base and the vendor base doing that, it kind of like propelled me into my own skin more in that sense.
I think it's also like the confidence that you wear, because like for me it's like fashion doesn't matter too much. If you can wear it confidently, you can kill it.
Yeah.
What have you seen?
No, because you fucking give me shit. What? So I've said I wouldn't talk about it. I said I wouldn't, but last Picnic and Thrift, I thrifted a very sick yellow.
It was a bit jacket, of a doozy, yeah. If I'm being honest.
It's very loud. Fuck loud. My days. Oh my goodness. But Davey.
Okay. Describe this jacket to me. I want like bandanas? The breakdown.
There's a bandana in my bag, but it's a yellow bandana jet.
Oh, I know style. The store that sells them. That's okay, so it's a puffer.
No. No. It's just a normal.
Looks like a workman's shirt. I love you. I love you, I swear.
Davey has nothing good to say about it regardless of how I wear it, and now he says that confidence is key when you wear clothing.
No, because, you know why I said it was bad? Because you weren't like oozing confidence. You look shy. It was your fault.
You look scared.
I can gaslight you now. It's your fault.
And it works, I'll be honest. I'm like, damn, let me go home and get him.
I have a question for you. What tips would you give Lebs to bring out his inner ooze?
So the big
how's he gonna ooze this confidence you're talking about?
My not problem. I love him to bits. Hey, but we went to an event as well a while back. It was a techno event.
Stop bringing up the story.
Insert the image. Yeah. What's up? I'm here. Insert the image. It was him. He basically like Morpheus from Matrix.
In yellow.
No. So this is at least it was black on black. So he had that going for him.
Oh, thank God.
But
I
enjoy what Lebs wears. I'm not gonna lie.
I don't want
to. I can't even give you.
Yeah, that's
tips
like yeah. She's got. She knows she's a Stella Oak.
Yeah. She's got a nice personality.
No, she drives a Swift.
Ooh. I don't, it's a Honda Accord. I'm trying so
it's
hard.
A Corolla. I'm an Uber actually.
I'm an Uber. We'll decline your trip.
Back to the last bit. I like your fashion.
Okay, so you
I can't give any tips because
no tips.
I can't. He's too far gone.
Yo, I think I've just broken you guys up in some sort of way.
I know, we've been through a lot of work.
It is a business relationship at this point. We don't hang out outside of this.
I love his bandanas. That's one thing.
It's a headscarf.
That's beautiful.
Oh, the sentiment, not the bandana. I get it.
The bandana's great too.
Yep, two. Yep. Don't wrap it up. It'll end the episode. I'm done. Oh, fuck's sakes. I don't know how to segue smoothly out of me being arrested, I must be honest. Oh, God.
Can do the classic, like, right?
Yeah. Back onto another thing.
Well, on to the next one.
Central.
Zoom in.
So Pigment Thrift started doing nighttime events now.
Yeah.
And what actually spawned the thought of that process to be, we were doing a picnic during the day and then we're jawling at night. What was the...
So in 2020, we did our first ever nighttime event. But we like properly established it, I'd say, this year. Mm-hmm. So what we did was every year we have a Halloween party, and it became like a very like well-known thing in the PNT community and crowd that we'd have like our yearly Halloween party. And it was like very cool, always fun, like shit ton of people, cool dresser prizes, dresser themes, a lot of like nice local DJs as well. And we got a really nice base of like good DJs and good musicians. And we did like live music during some of the day events, and we started doing the night events. And then this year, so last year we did a few nighttime events. We did Queer Prom for the first time. Mm-hmm. And that was like, that was fucking massive. That was 500 people crammed into the Irish club in London. Oh, insane. Live music.
How are the bathrooms?
Shocking. Fucking shocking. I will personally drive.
About the bathrooms.
It's fucking awful. It's awful. Like, I can't say I've been to a trap house, but I imagine they're better than this, like the bathrooms at the Irish club. Like, I actively remember, it's going to be very interesting to share. I actively remember going and like having Ruby like hold the door closed whilst also holding me so that I could like kind of, you know, hang over it without like putting, you know, I didn't want any ass on the seat sort of situation, but also didn't want my feet in the piss.
Oh. That's lame,
like,
that's,
you know, really in the woman's toilet as well. I don't know how that happens, but it's fine. We vibe. I hate it. So that was intense. But after that, we kind of realized like there was definitely a niche in the Joburg, specifically the queer Joburg scene for like safe space nightclubs that weren't just Babylon.
Yeah.
Also like queer run, queer DJs for the most part, and just like very different. We like throw really nice parties, if I do say so. Like, I like our time, I enjoy. So then we got super into it. For New Year's, we threw a New Year's party. That was awesome. We did our Halloween one again. That was great. And then this year, we were like, okay, we're going to commit to the bit. We're going to approach venues. We're going to, like, start getting involved, but, like, big venues. So not just, like, Irish Club. We're going to approach, like, Smoking Kills. Mm. 44 Stanley Peachy, like, contacted us, which was really cool. Also, like, weird, like, origin story. I met the guy on Reddit. Like, I was like trolling Reddit, and then I saw like the Joburg subreddit. I was like reading about it. There was a WhatsApp group. I was like, yeah, sure, why not? Like, you know, it's fine. Like, went onto it. It was fucking awful. But then some guy some guy saw that I was on. I posted about the one PNT event being hosted at Smoking Kills. I put photos, and like that event was massive. I think so. Online tickets, we sold 800. At the door. I'm not gonna say how many, but it was like excessive. Smoking Kills, the tree had to close, and they had to go and buy like more stock, because they ran out of alcohol. Like, the bar ran out, pan in, the bar ran out of alcohol. It was insane. Sorry. it was insane. It was proper wild. And we were like, cool, we got this. We're going to do this. I also like a good party, but I'm like very particular with where I like to go. And there was definitely a niche that I thought wasn't just for me. It was a lot of people in the Joburg scene that like they wanted to go to like nice places with good vibes, that's not too socially intense, that doesn't have that sort of pressure about what you wear, but is more about like what the music is and who the people are there, and just like the barriers and the walls are kind of dumb. So we decided to like tap into it. Then we like started working with Peachy's, doing First Thursday art curation events there. So every first Thursday, we're at 44 Stanley. We did like a whole strip of stalls throughout. We work with the Bioscope now, so they put on student films. We do stuff with Peachy's. It's really nice. And we just like really decided to commit fully to doing the nightlife stuff this year and providing the space. Queer Prom again, we did a Smoking Kills. Insane turnout. So lovely. Like, so many people came in like full metric dance, like fucking extravaganza sort of vibes. And then we got a Halloween one on the 5th. No, the 6th. The 6th of October. And you guys should be there. It'll be lovely. At Smoking Kills.
There you go.
I don't know why, but I thought I kept putting the Halloween and the prom together. I must be honest.
Oh, like zombie
in my
prom.
Head, I was like, oh yeah, zombie prom.
You're scared of gay people.
That's a
that's
setup.
You set yourself
this
up.
Is the title.
You set yourself up. Yeah, yeah. Lev's scared of gay people.
No.
Glad I could be of assistance.
Appreciate it.
You had to bring it out, you know.
Bring it out.
I've been trying to do it for years.
I came on this podcast.
This is Lev's coming out story.
Oh, how's it, guys? I'm coming out.
You guys think I'm actually gay?
It's taken me
I'm
a long
time. Terrified.
Yeah. It's not that. You are homophobic. Yeah.
Exactly.
You got a phobia.
There's a the full video. It's like, don't call me homophobic because the last thing I am is afraid of you guys.
No, my favorite for Pride, I made t-shirts that said, like, what are these gay people so proud of anyway? And it was sold out immediately. I had like 20 shirts immediately gone. Oh, I was like, you know what? Other people agree. That's nice. I don't know who bought this. No, we have like a, like my friend group and I, we have like a mutual understanding that there's always like a few straight guys accompanying their bisexual girlfriends to PNT. And it's, you can always tell they've got the pearl necklace, the tight jeans and the, like the, you know, Yeah. Camera pan.
Even worse, I was wearing skinny jeans. Lev's bought pearls as well at the market.
No, but it's so true.
She was like, I'm going to roast these guys.
No, but it is just a thing. Like, there's no bond stronger than the picnic and thrift bisexual girlfriend with her straight boyfriend and his pearl necklace. There's no bond stronger than
and
those
and
two.
And it's like it's.
It's
you
a
can
thing.
See it.
You can, and it's so sweet because they're just so supportive and they're like, shame.
No.
Go get your fuck ass clay earring.
This like, denim jacket, 8 sizes too big for you. It's gonna look fantastic.
Yeah, you're gonna, babes, put it on. Don't.
You're killing the babes. Yeah.
Slay, babes.
Stop looking at that girl. One of the things Liv's and I noticed as well as.
Don't drop me.
Wait, so hey! which event did you guys come to? Have you been to a few?
I've been to one for my birthday, and then he's been to.
I've been to a few.
Okay, which ones did you guys come to?
We went to the Rivonia one.
Oh, so you went to the most recent
yes,
one?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
One in, 26th.
Yeah, the Sanrio anime one.
Yeah.
Okay. So, it's one of our smaller ones, but.
Oh, that thing was packed.
Oh, yeah.
And you've been to which ones? Need to know. I need to know.
I did.
No, but have you been to the Pirates ones? The ones we've done at Pirates? Okay, so you've seen those ones are like.
Those are quite fucking amazing.
Those are fun.
That was my first one.
Really? At the beginning of the year?
Yep.
That was the anime one. Okay.
Yeah. And I was also on a date with a bi girl as well. necklace, so that was great.
You still have
the jokes write themselves.
What picture?
You took the Polaroid, yeah.
I'll fucking kill myself if I show that Polaroid. You are. I've had a great time at your events, I must be honest. So going into the next question, how did I do this as a job? Anyways.
I don't know the whole thing.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's fine. No,
I'm over myself, Kevin.
Now it feels forced. But anyway, when we went there, it's one of the few times, because we go out a lot with interviewing DJs and everything. And it's like one of the few times that we knew no one there.
Oh, yeah,
and like, it was just a wild thing, is mainly going back to the thing of giving people a niche to go out to. And it's like realizing, where did they go out? That's the now. It was mainly just a realization that they go out to picnic and thrift nighttime markets.
Mm. Very, very different crowd for sure.
Mm.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
How do you think you so essentially what we wanted to ask is in terms of like your community as a whole, because it does feel like it's a family, like everybody seems to know each other.
Yeah,
everyone's just super nice when you get there and like kind.
There's like a really good summary, sorry, I'll let you finish, I promise, but there's a really good summary I saw on Twitter. Someone put a tweet up and they were like, if you kiss one bisexual at picnic and thrift, you've kissed the whole of the Joburg bisexual community. And that's like the most accurate depiction of family values.
We're one big family.
One big family. Well,
fuck it. Anyways.
Anyway, sorry.
So, big community. How have you managed to... I don't know if curate is the right word, but how have you managed to protect that community? How have you managed to make sure that it doesn't get run in by, like, the local rabble?
You know, the Oaks.
From techno. Oh, is it
the Brews. So, we don't really like to gatekeep.
Mm.
I think that's the nicest way to put it. Like... anyone is welcome at our events. If you are homophobic or racist and you're outwards with it, we have a zero tolerance policy for that sort of a thing. Even if like you were accused of it and you were wrong, we'll send you home. We'll deal with that after the event. We're not risking any customers, vendors, or ourselves as hosts being put in a position that we can't handle. Or that also is just like unfair to the vibe. At the end of the day, if you're coming out and you're being shit, like you're going to go home and we'll handle that afterwards. So we're just a bit protective in terms of that. At our nightlife events, we have like secret bouncers, but like we have like secret bouncers that like walk around. They're dressed like they look like they're paying entry. They look like every other, like, you know, not brewer undercover pearl necklace, double yeah. O pearl.
Hey bro, you don't want this fight, man.
yeah literally. But we have like bouncers. We make sure that I mean, I know a big thing Ruby and I do in terms of our vendors is we go around throughout the market several times in the day and we'll check like, how are you doing, have there been any issues, have you noticed anything in terms of like safety. If there's any complaints, like we make ourselves very approachable to both like the customer. I would like to think we do. I could be wrong, but I would like to think that we make ourselves like quite approachable to the customers and the vendors for if there is a concern or there is an issue, they can bring it up with us and like it will be dealt with. We have had issues. We have dealt with it. In 2020, we had, Ruby and I just fucking go and
get in the bathroom. Just no, like, get in the bathroom.
Yeah. I said, give me the bandana back.
He needs it for his sleeve.
No. You know. Like, no, we do. we handle the situation. We do. And in terms of like protecting, I think the biggest thing is like we are always aware that because we advertise as like an openly queer space, that we do have to be a little bit more careful with where we advertise and how we advertise. Mm-hmm. So it was a little bit of an issue establishing in Pretoria for that reason alone. But more of a conservative society compared to Joburg. I think in Joburg, when people are homophobic, they don't really go to the places they know the gay people are going to be at because they're like, fair enough, go do your fuck shit there. I'll do my fuck shit here. And I think for the most part, people are kind of respected in that sort of like bare minimum sense. Whereas in Pretoria, we struggled a little bit at first, noticing things, comments being passed to vendors. And there's also like a line that we can't really cross with customers if they're being homophobic. Like we can and we do, but we have to also like be very careful with how we approach people because we also need to understand that, you know, if you're a customer just walking in a center and you see, you know, I don't know, a gay flag and you're inherently opposed to it, you know, you're feeling that some sort of way about it. We have to like kind of neutralize. We can't necessarily be like, what the fuck, you're ridiculous, that's a stupid outdated thing, are you morally consistent, if you really think that gay people are bad, how do you feel about that? We can't have those kind of engagements. Like, it's not also, you know, someone going up to a small business and like harassing them because they have a rainbow flag, you're not going into that with good faith anyway. So we kind of take discussions off the table and we just try to neutralize. When there is like direct threats or direct issues like that, then we're very much like neutralize, deal with the situation after, put things in place. We have banned people from our events for a variety of reasons. We have like a little blacklist of like vendors who are banned and like customers. We've got photos that we show our bouncers of, cool, if these people, like if you see them at the event, please escort them. But we also like, we do tell people, like we don't just do the cold turkey, like you're not allowed here with no reason. Like we really like to say to people, listen, this is why we've decided that we aren't welcoming you into our privately run event. If you'd like to bring it up with management, sick. I am the management.
She's busy the whole year.
Yeah, yeah. If you'd like to bring it up with management, sick. Shalom. Like, it's, you know, it's me. And like, also, like, I like to be quite reasonable about things and give people the benefit of the doubt. So sometimes there are issues where like someone is just like being, I don't know, bitchy or whatever, and a vendor takes it too far because they're upset that someone, like a customer, was being bitchy, and you have to kind of look at that with a, like through like a rose-tinted lens of, you know, this person is just a bit bitchy. They're still buying. They're not a bad person. This is their personality. Yeah. Like, come and buy your shit. Like, leave them alone. Like, don't sell to them on a personal level if you don't want to.
Yeah.
So in terms of like protecting the community, we're quite intense with like those sort of things, but also kind of relaxed with it, if that makes sense. We just like use discernment and like personal judgment very, very carefully. We just have like an absolute, like, everyone knows that like people smoke weed at PNT. It's a big thing. We have a zero pan in. We have like a zero tolerance policy for people selling because it's not legal. And whether or not like personal politics come into play, it's just not legal. Tons of kids and like under 18s come to the events. You've got to be careful. And also, like, I don't know what you're selling. I'm not risking my entire business practice because you want to make 30 grand off a joint. No. So
old one as well.
Yeah.
You don't smoke weed often, do you? What is this, stevia?
Is it a
candle roll?
Yo, the stevia is hitting me hard. Yo, I feel I'm out of my shoes.
I got a bit of a buzz now.
The loins are stirring. Yeah, no, so that's how we are about things. We're quite, yeah. But we're very consistent. We have like a vendor's guidelines that we do like make public knowledge, so you can always look at them. That's about it. And like also we're very big on not virtue signaling. So like we say we're a safe space because we actively put steps in place to ensure that we're fostering and constantly fostering a safe space.
Oh, that's vibes.
Yeah.
It's really cool how like you, I don't know, it, the consistent through line between your thrifting business and also the parties and also the picnic and thrift events, like it seems like it's very like important to you and like you hold it to a high regard and shit like that, which is
thank you fucking... That's such a lovely compliment. I do. Oh, yeah,
fine. Well, getting over the compliments and the nice times, it's time for our favorite part of the episode. Woo! Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is time for your cheeky vibe checks. Davey, tell the beautiful people what a vibe check is.
I get so stressed. The vibe check is essentially we give our guests a question that's usually based on good vibes, bad vibes, mid vibes, best vibes, worst vibes. But just put the VAABS so we can trademark it. Not vibes.
And we don't vibe yet.
Yeah. Oh, that did it. I did it.
Yeah, you fucking did it.
I was gonna go explain more. And I'm like, yeah, I said everything.
No, that's the fucking best one.
There we go. You're welcome.
No more room to grow.
I'm leaving.
You're done for the quitting night. Yeah. Turn the mic off.
I got told I could become an ambassador at BNT, so I'll see you.
Why were you guys starting shit? Why were you guys starting shit in the comment section? Who runs the page? It's me.
No,
I saw.
And look what happened.
You're look at what now. Happened. How's it? You are.
Were we advertising? Maybe.
Hmm?
We're not.
If there's any four ways bisexuals in the works, you know where to go.
Has it some lips with the pearl necklace. Anyways. So the first vibe check that we have for you today is vibe check on wearing your fit that you thrifted at Picnic and Thrift to the nighttime party.
Wait, what?
So thrifting during the day.
Yeah.
And you buy a cheeky little fit, huh?
And then I wear it in the night.
Yes.
Oh, several times. Good vibe. Yeah. Might not always be washed. Take the L. It's fine.
I've got a question. Why does all thrifted clothing smell like it came from the same house?
It's actually disgusting.
Because please. I'm honest.
He's honest.
It smells like Gretchen's house.
It is a Gretchen.
It's there.
I don't know who Gretchen is, but it is someone named Gretchen or Olga for sure. Yeah.
She unfortunately.
Actually, a little well-known fact in the thrifting community, obviously. I wouldn't expect you guys to know, but it's okay. We have a central house where all the clothing is actually stored once it's bought so that it absorbs that musky smell.
Where is this house? Where's Gretchen's house?
Boxburg.
I'm there.
Where's Gretchen's second house?
Ritterport. Keep going. It's not that far.
I'm not driving 20 minutes to go to a house that smells like that.
I just feel like a lot of us I feel like a lot of us don't wash the shit. Like I don't wash everything. I'm going to be so real. There's sometimes that like customers come, they pick up something. I'm like, you should wash that.
Yeah. Hey, just by the way.
And they just leave it because like they're not going to argue. I'm not going to argue. Like we know the situation.
It's like a standoff. Like, did you wash your hands? I washed my hands.
Did you wash your hands? That's why it smells like that. I imagine a lot of us don't wash it. Some do. Mm. None of us wash with fabric softener. I'll be so real. It's just expensive.
Yeah, fair enough. It's just fucking money and cigarettes.
Hey, just by the way, someone died in that gym. They just went to.
That's what my mother thinks every time I bring home something that's thrifted. It's because like,
there's a ghost
clothes?
Behind you the whole time.
She had reasonable concern. The first thing I ever thrifted, I can't find it.
Oh.
Yeah, it's alright.
What did you thrift?
It does definitely look like an old lady died in it. But it was just
was
like
a
top where the buttons were on the wrong side. And then my mom was like, that means it's for girls. And I was like, that makes no sense.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah, because like men have shirt, they have, it's different. We have different buttons. Like
because the patriarchy.
The vintage clothes. Because you're supposed to like, as a woman, button up for your husband. For yeah.
Get that on the camera.
Yeah, camera pan to that. Yeah, that's a real thing.
What?
That's a real thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
I don't know, maybe.
I've a lot of the clothes that I've bought still have the buttons.
Still have a different.
Yeah, I've got
possibly.
A leopard print shirt. That does
definitely. A genius. I'm joking.
That's brilliant. Your what fucking innovation. Innovation that excites. No one tell the Barbie movie.
No one tell the Barbie.
No one tell Greta Gerwig.
Oh, God. Next vibe check. All right. Is a vibe check on a fully thrifted fit. Good vibes, fully. Bad vibes. Fully.
Socks, from the underwear. Shoes to,
they don't thrift.
What are you saying, Woolly? But like, what are you saying fully here? Like
everything other than the underwear.
Other than the underwear. No, socks included, though.
Okay. Yes, depends on what you're vibing off of. I must be honest.
Yo, they're like a lower tier than shit. Like, you know, well, like for underwear and socks and that, no, absolutely not. The rest of it, like shoes, I mean, my entire outfit is thrifted.
Even the shoes?
Oh, yeah.
That's impressive. Oh, that's impressive. For me, shoes seem like a...
Yeah.
Are they Doc Martens?
No.
Someone tried to tell me that last Friday. They were like, they thrifted Doc Martens. I said...
They're not.
I'm believing you.
Yeah, no. No, these are just regular, schmegular shoes. They actually came in the box. I was quite chuffed. That was cool. There's a lot of things that are like really nice when you're thrifting because you'll just find things that are brand new and like they're just secondhand. Like thrift doesn't necessarily mean bad, just means secondhand, you know?
Yeah.
It's recycled, repurposed, whatever it is. So I don't know. I dig like fully thrifted outfits. I mean, if the style is good, the style is good. I don't care about like if it was worn by a dead person or not. Yeah.
Is there anything like
if the fit is good?
Is there anything that you say it's like
an absolute no?
Yeah, like thrift or miss kind of thing. You completely
a thrift?
Thrift or miss? Like you hate it completely. Like you see, it's a common.
I don't fuck with those pussy skirts. I don't know what to call them other than that. You know the ones? Yeah. The little like a little belt. Yeah. I don't fuck with those at all. I don't like them. But I don't like anything that's low rise. To be honest, like any low rise jeans, low rise pants, like. It works for some people. I personally don't like the look. I only thrift high-waisted stuff if I'm selling pants or skirts. Mm-hmm. So that's like a... Look. Yeah, I like the 2000s look, but it needs to have something like modern with it. It can't just be like you're wearing a 2000s outfit because the fashion was fucking awful. We left it there for a reason. Yeah, I don't dig it personally. I don't like that. So that's a no for me. Yeah.
That's fine. And final vibe check of the night. Vibe check on the vibes of Picnic and Thrift.
On the vibes there?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's very good. It's very good. It's very fucking good. It's fucking good. That's right, Ruby. How good is it? No, it's...
The person who made that tweet as well just...
Yeah, it's
great.
It's wonderful. It's actually, apparently, the vibes at Picnic and Thrift are really horrible. Sorry, I hate to say it. And then follow-up tweet, don't you live in the UK?
You can tell Daryl there was a jealous... No, that's a whole other story. But people that move to other countries...
Vibes are great. Even when it's like a really slow or small market, everyone's there for like the right reasons. They're all there to enjoy themselves, have a good time, support small business, and... also just like meet people. I think people are super, super personable and friendly for the most part, and you'll always find someone to like spend time with. So good vibes. Very biased, highly recommend my business. Insert logo here.
Oh boy, sorry, fuck. Logo.
It's actually throwback to that photo of you better be taking notes. Throwback to that photo of Burner Boy with the burner phone with the Picnic and Thrift logo inside the burner phone.
And then Scribe Resort is just over here behind them.
This is going to be an editing nightmare for you, my guy.
Yeah.
Lens is editing.
Ooh, you're going to have a fun time.
Hey, love to do it. Anyways, Dol, get involved, you batch. Oh, you're going to come out for this one. Why don't we just run the podcast like this?
And another.
For your information, we have 4 mics. This isn't necessary.
No, this is totally reasonable. You don't have another chair.
To be fair,
there we go.
Okay, so my question is, sometimes I go into the... This is Dol. Sometimes I go into the internet and sometimes I experience things.
Shit.
And
what's that like?
Basically, it's very nice sometimes. I tend to stay off of it. But the other day, I figured out that there was this thing called Yaga.
Oh.
So I'm interested in finding out from you. What's your vibe check on Yaga?
Thanks very much, everyone.
The person that he found out it was me.
It was you.
I got 300 rand jeans that cost 1.5 there.
Oh, nice.
From a guy instead
of a vibe check on Yaga. Yaga's fine. Yaga's nice. They take a high commission. They take 10%. I don't like that. I always recommend selling through your own store or on at a market, but also like that's not accessible to everyone. And yeah, if it works for you, do it. That's Vibe Check mid. great idea, really good like platform. Personal opinion, mid, just because like, but also I'm in the position where like I've got access to customers. I've had like a consistent business model since 2018, so like I'm coming from like a very different standpoint. Like the average person wanting to sell their clothes, Yaga's fucking great for sure.
Yeah,
you don't have to come back. I'm sorry, the vibes are horrible here at Vibes Podcast.
I just want to know.
I feel like I feel like it ruins the experience for the customer as well, because like from what thrifting means and what it's about, I feel like it could ruin the experience, because like then it's just digital. There's no interaction. Like, I feel like what you do is very different in that sense.
Yeah, it's definitely not as personal. I don't know if it works. Look, keep in mind, like everyone, you know, we all do things for different reasons, like broad sentence, but because it's like true. So some people are running a thrift business because it's a great side hustle. Not everyone's doing it to create community. I think that's why PNT does like so well, and why Crybaby's done so well. Like, I'm not just doing it as like, firstly, it's a main hustle for me. It's not a side hustle. Also, it's a lot of it is to do with the community. So I have a different way of interacting. I have a different way of posting. I have a different way of curating stock. Just very, very different vibes. So, I mean, yeah, like that element's very fair. It's very, very fair. But again, like some people are doing it just because they want to make money. And that's also like completely fair, completely valid. Like, I'm a big supporter of making money. I think making money is cool. I think it's really fun. You can buy sick things with money. That's cool.
You
can buy Crybaby thrift shitty t-shirt, insert picture. That's really sick. And yeah, that's pretty cool. So yeah, shouts to my vibe check on money. Fucks.
Big vibe.
Fucks. Money. Fucks.
Money fucks.
Money fucks.
Anyways, are you chuffed? Yeah. Do you want to tell us which one you prefer, Dill Vibe Check on going and getting your hands dirty or not that?
Yeah, hands-on thrifting. Personal thrifting.
I like it. My mother can't deal with it though, because she is one. I know I talk about my mother a lot, so I don't, there's nothing further to deep in there. Anyways, so she hates, what's this, like places where there's no order. So like, okay, she doesn't like diving in and like looking for things, but prefers like, this section is for this kind of thing and this section is for this, and I can find this color over there and that kind of thing. So I guess that's just very down fair to like personal preference, like you
said. That's very fair. And also like, not everyone is willing to, I mean, the reason I can add such a good markup is because not everyone is willing to go hunting. Like thrifting is hunting. You're hunting for clothing. Like you're literally digging through piles. You're putting yourself in like weird places in the middle of town. Like you're doing, yeah, you're like doing the most. So it makes sense that it's not for everyone. That's pretty reasonable.
Also, when they speak about that town market, it sounds it's a war zone. Like, even one of the...
It's really cool.
Vendors was literally like...
I don't
care. We're literally like, where'd you get it from? He's like, I'm nowhere near Joburg. I won't go there.
That's actually very much why I like stick to like the outskirts of Joburg when I go thrifting. Like, I don't do the CBD much. I have it a point, but there are so many people. It's very, very intense. It's highly crowded. It's really good quality stuff, really good prices, but like... it's just like an intense vibe. It's like a very intense vibe with like, I mean, mats on the floor with like clothing bundles going like this, gazebos with like stands inside them, clothing going like this. You have to dig through. It's a lot. It's very overstimulating. I've been, I think, 5 or 6 times the whole of my thrifting career. So yeah.
Shit,
it's hands on dirty work. You just find me funny.
I don't, I swear. I've had the worst time. Oh, goodness.
It was a question. It was a question.
It was. I'm sorry. Here at Vibes Podcast, we like to make our guests feel like they're one of us. So Gabby gets editing. Guess why it's not going to edit itself?
Is there a big future plan for Crybaby and PNT, or is it mainly you're just not happy with, you're content with the growth that it's getting, like, you know, it's going to push, or is there a big master plan now?
So not necessarily like a big master plan. We've got like ideas in the works of things we want to do. We want to obviously keep it growing. We're fully aware that like, in order, I mean, for both my businesses, like in order for them to grow, we have to constantly like look at different aspects and like changed. So that's why I've noticed like the thrifting for me isn't doing as well as the customs is doing. So I'm going more in that direction with Crybaby. I would like, ideally, I would love to have a Crybaby cafe where it's like music, food, thrift. Sorry. Fuck. Like the whole point of this. Thrift. Sorry. I'd like a sick clubhouse that I run. That'd be so cool. And then people can come. That'd be sick. But yeah, like that's like the dream. Genuinely, that would be like really cool. That's like my goal for Crybaby in the next 5 to 10 years. Probably achievable sooner. I just need to like lay down the groundwork and do it properly. But I will, because I will. So that's definitely in the works for Crybaby. In terms of for Picnic and Thrift, big thing at the moment is we're looking at ways of getting more customers and new customers, new venues, more stable venues as well, because we love the venues we're using, but we do hop around a lot. So we're trying to find places where we can do like 2 months at a time here, 2 months at a time there, 2 months at a time there. So looking at like small logistics and tweaking things like that.
Yeah.
Also working on some more ways to like curate the set list for the vendors, because we get about 300 to 400 applications per market. We can only accept 60 stores because 20 are set vendors for the year. Because they're like stables, food, niche products. Like we have an anime store, we have a store that does like spoon rings. Like we want to keep certain stores, you know, because it works nicely and we want like that consistency. So we can only really choose like 50 to 60 other vendors. So we want to work out a way that we can do like that screening process a little bit smoother, as opposed to just looking at an Excel sheet and me just doing conditional formatting and then not telling Ruby what the conditional formatting is. And then her just being like, what the fuck is green? And then her contacting green, and then me being like, no, these are people that are not approved, and her being like, why would you even highlight them? And then like, because I have a system, and then she's like, but you didn't tell me the system. I'm like, yeah, because in my head I'm the only one here, but that's not true, and you're right, and I'm so sorry. And then we go for spur on Monday, and it's fine. So I need to work out a way to do that system better. is what I'm saying. And festivals, that's the next big thing we want to work at. We want to do overnight festivals.
Overnight.
We just need clearance. That's the issue. We need clearance, and there's a few other things that we have to sort out like legally to be able to have like overnight festivals, because we do like the day festivals at our music, but we want to do like a proper overnight camping experience, 18 plus, fucking good vibes. So that's like definitely in the works. And like Ruby and I were joking about a while ago, but I do think it would be fucking cool is if we did a Picnic and Thrift mall, like a thrift shopping mall. I just think it would take the novelty away of like a monthly market, and then people wouldn't come as much because like they have access to it all the time. And that's kind of the issue with shopping at the moment, is like you always have access, so you don't really have like a desire, or there's nothing to bring you in. But it's just like a cool idea. A thrift mall would just be sick. That's not really an idea. That's just me telling you guys would be sick.
Oh, that's big vibes, man.
Yeah. And then see where it grows. Oh, and Cape Town. We want to expand to Cape Town and Durban, and that's in the works. It's taken a lot longer because we had to get certain permits for Cape Town that we didn't need to get for Joburg, because Cape Town is fucking a country on its own. So
Cape Town,
the West.
Yeah,
we love all you from Cape Town.
The West,
the Wild West,
the West. Yeah, so looking at expanding, because Pretoria is going smoothly now. We're there once a month, so now we've got Joburg, we had Centurion, we're like set in Pretoria. Now we need to do Cape Town and Durban. After that, like, fuck,
let's
you think bigger, let's hoy a Lesotho.
Ooh, a fork in the mountains.
Yeah. It's just summer clothes. Good luck.
Do a little, you know, ski resort PNT.
That's a vibe.
Yeah, that's the bigger, grander plans. And at some point, Ruby and I will agree on a logo.
Oh, yeah.
Because we've got the peach in the bottle, but I keep changing the background because I'm like, I don't know, I just get bored. And that's on Canva. We've upgraded from Paint to Canva.
Canva Pro? No.
No, Canva Pro.
Oh, okay.
No, we do real shit. This is
sustainable business.
I think you might have something special here, I gotta be honest.
There's no greater bond than Canva and a small business owner.
Yeah. To be fair. But Gabby, thank you so much for pulling through and catching vibes with us. We've had an absolutely amazing time. Big jokes, genuine, big vibes. Yeah. For the people at home, chilling, vibing out, where can they find you?
You guys can find me here.
All of that.
I'm sorry.
All of those places.
Sorry, I'll do a smaller one for you so you can just do the ad. You can find me here on Crybaby Thrift. And then above that, you can find me here at Picnic and Thrift. Yeah, find us there. Come through to a market, come through to a nightlife party. It's like really nice. It's all the energy I got left in me.
Guys, I'm tired.
I'm not even tired. It's just like that's the most I can like toot myself about it. Like it's yeah.
Oh goodness.
That's where you guys can find Crybaby and Picnic and Thrift.
Oh, happiness. Well, we've had an amazing time. Thank you so beautiful much for vibes. Pulling through. Yeah. Beautiful vibes. Yeah,
the thanks for podcast. Having me.
For Dilly Willy behind the camera, Davey Delicious D in front of the camera, and myself, just Libs. We've been Vibes Podcast telling you guys to always
keep vibing. Woo! Gotta get better on that. You were off slightly.
And close.
Oh, is that a wrap?
And it's done.
It's a wrap.